even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So there's a lot in this verse. So we have to just camp out in this verse tonight. And I entitled it, Which is in Heaven. So let's pray. Lord, use your word to teach us and grow us tonight. Meet with us. Give us a special time of prayer as well. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So three things contained in this one verse, three doctrinal truths. Number one, no man hath ascended up to heaven. So Christ is teaching us there what we already believe, and that is that prior to Calvary, people did not go to heaven. Why is that? Well, it's because sin had not been paid for yet. Go to Luke 16 and we'll understand this. Luke 16, this is the story. It's not a parable. It's the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And in this story, we learn a lot about what happened to people when they died prior to Calvary. So notice verse 19 of Luke 16. Actually, no, we don't need to go that far back. But you know the story. The rich man died. Lazarus died. And it says, verse 20, there was a rich certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the master's table. Dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. And it says, the rich man also died and was buried in a hell. So he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So a couple of things we see. First of all, yes, people did go to hell prior to Calvary, as people still go to hell today. But the people who didn't go to hell went to a place called Abraham's bosom, and they were actually able to see each other, which is very interesting, isn't it? Now, later on in the passage, he talks about verse 26, beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. Most people believe that's probably the bottomless pit. And so he was actually able from hell to speak to Abraham and ask if he would send someone back to warn his brothers about hell. And that's when he told him that if they won't hear the word of God, then they won't be saved, even if somebody came back from the dead, which was prophetic as well. So when Jesus said, no man hath ascended up to heaven, I believe he was teaching, if you go to Matthew 27 as well, I believe he was teaching that prior to Calvary, which this was spoken prior to Calvary here in John chapter 3, that people hadn't gone to heaven yet and weren't going to heaven yet because Christ had not died yet for sin. Notice Matthew 27 verse 52. It says, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now this is only found in Matthew, but here we have like a miniature resurrection that took place simultaneous with Calvary. And I believe it was meant, it not only meets up with the first fruits of 1 Corinthians 15, but it was also meant to show that things had changed. I mean, imagine somebody comes knocking on your door and it's your parent or your child that died. That's what happened. Can you imagine that? We can't even imagine. It says they came out of the graves. This is what they literally did. So the resurrection, the crucifixion changed everything. And then one more verse, and that is 1 Peter 4:6, talking about while Christ's body was dead, where was he? Where was his soul? 1 Peter chapter 4, down in verse 6, the Bible says, for this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. So Jesus went and preached to some dead people. Well, where would that be? Now, I think that ties in well with Psalm 16:10, which says, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. So Christ not only paid for our sins, but he also went to hell on our behalf. He didn't go there to suffer, but he went there to preach to the dead. So I think he went down there to preach not only to the dead to finally condemn them for their sin, but also he preached to those that have been waiting to say, sin is paid for. You can go to heaven now. And so the first thing that we see, doctrinal truth in this verse, no man had ascended up to heaven at this point because people couldn't go to heaven yet because Christ had not paid for sin yet. Now, when you and I think about it, we are on the other side of Calvary, and we believe 2 Corinthians 5:8, right? We are confident, I say, I'm willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Well, we know where the Lord is. He's in heaven. The Bible tells us he's in heaven at the right hand of the throne of God, interceding for us. So that says that when we die, we are with Jesus, and Jesus is in heaven. So now, after Calvary, we go to heaven when we die. So that's the first thing we find in this single verse. The second great truth we find here in John 3:13, he says, but he that came down from heaven. So the second thing is, of course, the incarnation of Jesus Christ. As we saw in chapter 1, verse 14, it says that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We know the Word was God. So Jesus didn't begin at his earthly ministry. He just chose to leave the glories of heaven and become a human for a short time that he might die as our substitute. Praise God for that. But he definitely came down from heaven. And in doing so, he made himself eligible to be our substitute. Go to 1 Corinthians 15, please, verse 47. So not only that he became a man, but also that he left heaven. And that's important, that he left the glories of heaven. And that you can imagine for God the Word would have been a huge sacrifice. 1 Corinthians 15:47, for the first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. The Lord from heaven is the second man. So the first man is Adam. The second man is Jesus, when you look at the context of that whole passage. And then look at 2 Corinthians 8:9, where again we're reminded that the sacrifices of Christ were not only limited to Calvary and what happened at Calvary with the false trials and the beatings and so forth, but there was more to his sacrifice. Notice 2 Corinthians 8:9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. What does that mean? Exactly what it says. For our sakes, he became a person, a human. And in doing so, went from rich to poor for those 30-some years. And then one more, Philippians 2, verse 5, talks about how he left the glories of heaven for our sake. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So the second great truth contained in this verse is not only that no man had ascended up to heaven up to this point, but that Jesus Christ came down from heaven, became poor for our sakes, became a man for our sakes, and left the glories of heaven for those years. So those are two truths. The third truth, John 3:13, is that Jesus then expresses his omnipresence, which again proves his deity. Because notice he says here at the end of the verse, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So all three of these truths have to do with heaven. First of all, that man hadn't gone to heaven until Calvary. Second of all, that Jesus left the glories of heaven physically to become a man, but that even while he was on earth, he was in heaven. How's that possible? Well, he's God. That's how it's possible, and God's everywhere. So as Jesus Christ the man, he was on earth, but as Jesus Christ God, the Word, he was everywhere. And so he's expressing his omnipresence here. Even the Son of Man, which is in heaven, not will be in heaven, but in heaven right now. So I'm standing here talking to you in the flesh, but I'm in heaven because I'm God, because I'm everywhere, because I know everything. Remember when he told the people about the disciples about prayer in Matthew 18? For where two or three are gathered together in my name, what did he say? There am I in the midst. I, Jesus, I am in the midst of them because I am everywhere. So Jesus Christ, if you go to Ephesians 1, is omnipresent. One of the three omnis of Jehovah. He is omnipresent in this verse about heaven. Notice Ephesians 1:23. It says, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That's Jesus. He filleth all in all. And then look at Ephesians 4:10. We'll see it again. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens that he might fill all things. So three great truths here about man and Jesus and heaven in this one verse. Firstly, man had not ascended to heaven prior to Calvary. Secondly, Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven physically to become a man for us that he might pay for our sins. And then thirdly, that Jesus Christ is God and is therefore everywhere and knows everything. He's omnipresent. So Jesus Christ made a lot of amazing doctrinal statements in that one verse. And then, of course, next week he begins to talk about eternal life, which we haven't heard about in John yet. It becomes a whole discourse on eternal life. Anybody ever heard of John 3:16? That'll be coming soon. So praise the Lord. Let's pray.